does have it all. All of our pre-owned vehicles are Hubler Q certified, which include a 128-point vehicle inspection, a free Carfax vehicle history report, and two warranties. A two-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, and a 30-day, 1,000-mile comprehensive warranty. Visit any of our 13 locations today, or click drivehubler.com. Hubler has it
all. We are thrilled to have Butler head basketball coach Thad Matta on the Mower Shop from Fisher's Hotline this afternoon. Bulldogs at St. John's, 6:30 tip-off tonight. That's a game on Fox Sports 1. Coach Matta, thank you for joining us. We are very interested in your opinion on where your team is through six games in the Big East. We've seen some lineup changes. I know you've gotten a ton out of Manny Bates and Eric Hunter Jr. What's your message to the team ahead of tip-off tonight against St. John's?
Well, I think this. We've got to compete. Mm-hmm. And when you're playing a team like St. John's, they're by design very chaotic. They're going to try to pressure you, turn you over, make you play a way you don't want to play, and we've got to be able to take the kind of the blows they give us, and we haven't done a real good job with that this year. And then at the same time, you've got to be able to deliver the blows. So I think the message tonight is we got to go in, we got to compete, we got to play better than we are, and take pride in doing all the little things. That's for sure.
Butler fans and fans around Indianapolis are still getting to know Manny Bates, coach, center, transfer from North Carolina State. He lets his game do the talking. Please give a glimpse into what this young man's been like behind the scenes. We have a ton of talent at the center position in the state with Zach Edey, Trace Jackson Davis, I would argue Peyton Sparks up in Muncie for Coach Mike Lewis. Manny Bates is very much in that conversation as well, coach, and I want folks to know that.
Yeah, no doubt. And thank goodness we got Manny. I think that was, one of the things in taking this job. And we knew we had a lot of work to do. And we needed something, or we needed a guy that could sort of anchor us down low. And I think Manny's done a great job with that. We're in tonight's, I think, our fifth game in 12 days. And he's taking a beating every night, and I give him credit. He's a tough kid, and we've really seen him grow. And tonight, he's got a heck of a matchup again, and we need him to play well. We need to get him the basketball, and probably the biggest thing, for the Butler fans out there. I mean, Manny's one of the greatest kids I've ever coached.
Yeah.
Just love being around him and just a tremendous young man. And one of those guys you want him to play well.
Yeah. Yeah, Coach A. Marlon Jackson here, former Michigan Wolverine, like yourself, a former Buckeye, now back at Butler University, and just wondering what's been the experience so far, and how does it compare to being at Ohio State and rebuilding a program there and then coming back home and trying to do the same and reestablishing Butler basketball?
Well, it's funny. Ironically, you remember this name. I talked to Jim Trussell yesterday, and we were just talking about, and he said, hey, when I went to Youngstown State, when I went to Ohio State, it takes time to build something. And I think, we all want this to go faster. And I'll be honest with you, Marlon, what I want is for our guys to play their best basketball. And, hey, I'll let the chips fall where they may. And I think that's the biggest thing. When we went to Ohio State, in 2004, I mean, that program was at rock bottom. we were banned from postseason play. We were docked scholarships, all that stuff. And it took us some time. But by the same token, as I said, I just want these guys. We've shown we can play some really, really good basketball. We got to be more consistent. And we've got to stay the course through the rocky times. That's kind of the hard part there, no doubt about that.
Thad Matta joining us on the Mower Shop from Fisher's Hotline. Charlie Clifford, Marlon Jackson in studio. Coach Matta, when you scan the Big East and the coaches that are currently lined up in this conference, have you ever seen anything like it in terms of the star power on the sideline, coaches with resumes who have been there and have done it at the highest level? It just seems remarkable. Every night you turn on Big East basketball, household names coaching these teams.
Well, there's no question about that, and you know, it's a, I don't know, what are we, 6-7 games into it? I've
right.
been very, very impressed with, you know, not only the coaching, I knew that, but just the talent in this league. And you know, there are some unbelievable basketball players in this league. And you know, I knew from afar that this was a very competitive league. But, you know, it is night in, night out. You're going against, you know, big time talent, big time coaching. But that's what makes it fun. That's what you sign up for. And you know, like I said, we got to play better ourselves and hopefully we will tonight.
Coach, you were a little short to start the season. A lot of those non-conference games, a rotation of around 7 players. You made a lineup change. Jaden Taylor, a star who we watched locally here at Perry Meridian High School, a new role for Taylor. What was behind that decision, and what results have you gotten so far? Because reading the box scores, it seems fairly obvious. This is a move that's worked.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think when we made the change, I think it was the Providence game. Mm-hmm. We went with size in the starting lineup, and I think Jalen has been tremendous coming off the bench. And you know, I think I've had 2 or 3 first-round draft picks that didn't start for us. So it's not about starting a game; it's about how you finish the game. You know, I think as long as he can come in and continue to give us the intensity we need, and you know, I think everybody looks at the box score and says, "Well, he scored," but Jalen's been a lot better defensively than he was a month ago, and that's something that we need from that position. And you know, he's going to play his minutes, and you know, I think that. If I can get you know, the more energy coming off the bench, and that's one of the biggest things we've talked about with this group is, you know, no matter if you're coming out of the game, going back in the game, or going in for the first time, we need energy coming in the basketball game,
right?
And I think that's something that hopefully we'll be better tonight than we were the other night with that.
Coach Mata, we have Marlon Jackson in studio, the man with the singular most important play in Colts history, the interception of Tom Brady in the 06 AFC title game. So we need to ask defense. Eric Hunter Jr., top defender in the Big Ten last year at Purdue. He comes home, the Tinley High School graduate, now running your point guard spot, had his career best scoring night earlier this week back at Hinkle. Eric Hunter Jr., coach, what I love the most, when there's a little scuffle, when there's a little physicality after the whistle, the smallest guy on the floor is the first bulldog in there to mix it up. Your thoughts on coaching him this season?
You know, I've really, really enjoyed coaching Eric. You know, I think that you know, he's one of those guys that came to Butler with something to prove. I think just, you know, from the standpoint of his competitiveness, as you talked about, his defense, you know, he's been really, really good for us. And you know, I'm hoping that, you know, he can continue to score the ball. But probably the most important thing I want Eric to do is continue to get command of our team out there on the floor. And,
okay,
you know, tonight's going to be a very, as I said, chaotic. You have to play basketball against these guys. And you know, I'm hoping, I've talked a lot to Eric about it, of, you know, just making sure that the other 4 guys know exactly what we're doing. But that's the type of kid that that's what he wants to do.
St. John's tonight, Butler traveling to see the Johnnies. 6:30 tip, Fox Sports 1. Friday night hoops at Hinkle. Villanova's in. Marlon Jackson, I know you don't want to be the opposing point guard walking the ball up in that environment,
yeah,
correct?
That'll be a tough, hostile environment.
Be a little tough to call out the plays there at Hinkle. Coach, your thoughts on getting back with a marquee home game in what is one of the toughest venues in the conference to play? What would be a message to Dogs fans coming out later this week?
Well, you know, hopefully it's going to be obviously another big East battle for us. And you know, that's going to conclude 6 games in 16 days. And you know, we've been on the road here for the last 4 days, I think it is, and 5 days or 6, we stayed out here. But you know, I know our guys will be looking forward to get home. Now, obviously, we got business to tend to before that. But you know, it's there's no greater place to play than Hinkle Fieldhouse. There's no greater place to see a game than Hinkle. So you know, hopefully we'll do our part tonight and have the juice for Friday night.
Coach Mata, get them going tonight. We appreciate you taking the time on a game day. Best of luck out east, and we'll see you Friday night, all right?
All right, guys. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Chris Ballard's attempted to build a team that's built, born to run. Well, guess what, Indianapolis? It's time to throw it again around this city. Last time I checked, that's the reason Indy's on the map. And now the quarterback question, the head coaching question, and the after effects of one of the most frustrating seasons in franchise history is here. Chris Ballard attempted to clean it up this afternoon. Mike Chappell was there. Chap joins us now on 93.5, 107.5, The Fan. Marlon Jackson's here. Charlie Clifford's here. Chap, Jeff Saturday in this head coaching decision appears to be domino number one. What did you learn about the process that's now ahead to try to put a leader in the highest seat in this state, which is the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts?
Not very much.
Mm-hmm.
In all honesty, I mean, Jeff's going to be certainly interviewed, but he was asked several times about what will you use to evaluate him, what will the 1-7 and all that, and Chris really didn't have a lot to elaborate on when it came to that. It's going to be more the intangibles than what Jeff did, you know, behind the scenes and kind of getting his feet on the ground and learning the ropes. And so the problem is they could have put Tony Dungy in there for the last half of the season. And maybe they wouldn't have collapsed like they did, but I mean, what I'm saying is it wouldn't have done a lot. So it'll start with the process. They've already, you know, we've seen the reports. They've already asked to talk to four guys. Jeff is number five. So we'll see, but we really gleaned very little, if anything, from Chris Ballard today about Jeff Saturday and how he's viewed
internally.
Now, the one thing we did learn is Chris will lead the search, but this will come down to he and Jim Irsay putting their heads together, and Jim Irsay once again will hold the final vote on who the head coach is.
So, Mike, Marlon Jackson here. What, if anything, different from today's press conference versus others that you've covered in the past, particularly the announcement of Jeff Saturday coming in as an interim coach? Was there anything in terms of the nature of the press conference, the feeling around the press conference, the body language, the energy? You know, what's different that allows us to be able to leave that, you know, Chris Ballard is at the helm and he's leading the charge solely?
Good question. Now, the difference in the tenor of this one was the level of it's on me and I take the blame, because he understands this thing started with everyone, and I'm not talking locally, I'm talking nationally, thinking this team was a playoff team. Matt Ryan was the kind of guy that could take him, not to the Super Bowl necessarily, but to certainly the playoffs. And this team did not handle it well. This team has never handled being a front runner well. I mean, look at the 1-5 starts that they've overcome with Frank. So the level of Chris Ballard taking the blame and taking it all on, and there were other things that led to this. I mean, the owner, his involvement, the defense collapsing and all that, the quarterbacks didn't work. So maybe the level of it's on me, which he had to do. I mean, he had to come out and say, guys, throw your bricks. It's on me. He had to do that. As far as the trust in moving forward, I don't know. I mean, I asked him, and it's really I thought about it, but you sort of had to ask a question, is after the expectations and knowing how this league is, are you surprised to be talking to us today? Because a lot of times these guys are let go with this, and he understands that. And again, he just says that you have to have the trust in who you are and what you do, and believe that you can get through this. And one thing that Chris Ballard will never do is apologize for how he does things.
Correct.
The effort put in and all that stuff. Now we can certainly question decisions, and he addressed those and took the blame on, you know, offensive line and all that. So But how you come out of that saying, okay, this guy's the guy. I don't know how you can say that. And this is from someone who really believes Chris is a good GM.
Yep.
He's just missed on the team has missed on three major areas, you know, quarterback, left tackle, and I would add edge pass rusher, although that's still
There's at least hope there.
Because that was one of the next things I was thinking of. As you look at the roster and the eyesores are there at quarterback and offensive line, what are the other gaps that you see?
Do we really believe the pass rushers are here?
Not yet.
They still need that guy. I think Quidditch will be pretty good. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
But do you see him as a 12, 13, 14 sack guy?
Not yet. Nope.
I don't, which is fine as long as you've got that guy on the other side. You know, and there are spots they've got to shore up. The offensive line, right guard, they need to find something. And, you know, and I said all along, you can hide a marginal right guard. You can't hide problems at left tackle. You just can't. And that's something that they believe, they hope.
That may be the one plus to come out of the last 8 weeks. Is it Bernard Raimann got the – that might be the one plus chap of the final 8 weeks, legitimately, where you can say Jeff Saturday got Raimann to play winning football, and that's going to be a big bonus going forward.
Yeah, I need to see more. I mean,
sure.
The problem with left tackle is when you mess up, everybody sees it, and it's probably not going to be a good play. So and that's the unforgiving nature of left tackle. But he gives you hope. He does. But I'm telling you, all the things that were said, none of it matters if they don't get quarterback right. I mean, it just doesn't. You know, would you guys, Marlon, have done what you did anywhere close to that without elite quarterback play? And you don't have to have elite quarterback play. But you better have darn good quarterback play.
That's right.
Chap, back to a higher level, Chris Ballard went out of his way to say, look, we did not manage expectations well at all. If we work backwards chronologically, the year after Andrew Luck walked away and this odyssey began, the rhetoric was Jacoby Brissett is a top 20 quarterback. They had great conviction in that. Then it became Phillip Rivers. There's still gas in the tank. This is a multi-year commitment. We know that now not to be true. Then Carson Wentz, he's going to set up the next era of greatness. Him and Frank Reich, a perfect marriage. They're going to rebound. That failed. Matt Ryan is everything we've hoped and dreamed from an organizational standpoint. He couldn't last half a season. Is the fact that the Colts have shot themselves in the foot from a PR standpoint at the quarterback position, has that done more damage than otherwise if you would have just tempered expectations? Is it possible to temper expectations with Jim Irsay leading this organization, or is Chris Ballard just going to have to put up with whatever he says publicly?
Yeah, but everybody was kind of high on Ryan. I mean, I was. I thought, okay, you know, this guy isn't great, but he doesn't have to be. I thought he would give him more than he gave him. I was kind of tepid on Carson Wentz. Phillip Rivers, I tell you, I really thought they thought they could get 2 years from him, and that didn't happen. So, yes, and yes, the owner needs to tamp it down a little bit, but he doesn't know that. That's not in his vocabulary. It's not how he's built. You're always going to get, you know, multiple Lombardis and all that, which I understand where he's coming from, but that does sort of get, you know, that kind of whips up the fan base, although the fan base, doggone it, fan base needs to learn what's truth and what's just, you know, rah-rah.
Mm-hmm.
But it has set this team back. You cannot change quarterbacks every year and go anywhere. It just doesn't work. And they realize that this is a year, and he sort of said that, you know, he was asked if you have to move heaven and earth and you like the guy, don't you go and do it? And he said, yes, you will. So they're at four. But don't they have to move up to get their guy? I don't know that sitting there at four is going to be enough, because you're going to get probably the
chap. The difference between Bryce Young and Will Levis from a public perception. I mean, think about the worlds apart there. And I don't see that changing over the next 107 days.
Yeah, C.J. Stroud. I mean, I think if you get one of those two guys, you can really get this thing. Because I think the perception would be that these guys can step in semi-early and play.
Yep.
I'm not sure with anybody else that's the case. But if you give this fan base one of those guys, even Levis, at least they see there's something there, there's hope. There is light down the tunnel. Without that, you go from anger to apathy. When you hit apathy, I've been there, and it's not pleasant. And once you lose the fan base, it's tough to get them back.
Yep, and the thing is that everybody knows that. You know, there are more than just the Indianapolis Colts right now that are in need of a quarterback. It drives the entire league, and understanding that you can't just sit. It's hard to just sit at four because other people are going to be calling and trying to make moves to get above you.
No question.
So which puts
the Bears
the pressure,
are open for business.
And you need to leverage the relationships that you have there with the Bears right now. And not just the relationships, organization, when it comes to coaches. Those coaches have coached those dominant players that are on your roster.
Correct.
Right? You know, so just the entirety of the makeup of that relationship, there's some synergy there, right? And hopefully that synergy can create a pathway towards the coach ultimately getting to that top spot.
Sure.
So there's a guarantee of you getting the individual that you want.
Chap.
But that synergy's got to come with a bunch of stuff.
Yep.
Players.
Exactly. Exactly.
Chap. So, go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Nope.
Well, again, it's going to take a lot to get up there. But if you're convinced that that guy is the guy, then what the hell does it matter what the cost is? Because you got to get him.
And Chap, there is not a fan in Indianapolis driving around right now that would argue with you because everyone is okay with moving on from what you just watched this season, a team that was relatively healthy, a team that schematically was thought to have one of the best offensive minds in the league, and you turned in the worst offense in terms of DVOA and the most turnovers. We've danced around head coach and quarterback. Those decisions are not going to be made today. Chap, if you were a Colts veteran in the locker room, surely watching along with the rest of us this afternoon, what did you take away from Chris Ballard, specifically his message to the top-level players on this team and what his vision is for this roster going forward?
Well, and it's one that fans aren't going to want to hear, but it's trust me, I will fix this. And you either trust him or you don't. If you're a veteran, now if you're a player – under contract, you might as well trust him because you're not going anywhere. You know, but you just have to, I guess, blind faith isn't really, because if you look overall, if you can forget the fact that they've whiffed on quarterback and left tackle on pass rusher, if you can look past those three awful things, there's been some really good drafts. There's been some good draft picks.
There have
some strong players. This roster, I'm convinced this roster isn't as much trash as people think it is. It's just got holes where you can't have holes.
Well, and that's what I was thinking earlier. If somebody can present the data of all the information that you just talked about, the failures, the successes, right, the draft picks that we hit on, you know, you look at a guy like, was it Rodney Thomas, seventh round draft pick this year. Like, when you're able to find those hidden gems, right, you know, that we need more of that. But there has been some success. You hear some people talk about the entirety of the 6 years as a failure, right? You just made some wrong turns along the way that got you off track, but the entirety of the 6 years have not been full of failure.
No, but the 6 years have been 46, 54, and one, I think it is. It's been, you know, you're the only team that's not won a division title, which is really damning. That's the problem. And you've won, what, two playoff appearances, and you've won one game. That's where it is, and what's really got to get the owner PO'd is they were like 1-4-1 in the division this year. That's the worst they've been in the division since there was a division.
Yes. Yep. Worst in the history of the AFC South. Mike Chappell joining us on the guest line, presented by the Mower Shop and Fishers, themowershop.com, for all your snow blowers, commercial and residential mowers, plus service and power tools. Chap, other things you learned today in terms of how this process will move forward, not only a head coach, but also with moves on this offense going forward. Marlon Jackson's asking, present you some data. Chris Ballard has acquired veteran proven players on the defensive side of the ball. He has neglected to do that on the offensive side of the ball. What can change this offseason in that department?
Well, I mean, I guess when you're talking the draft, they've done good things in the draft with the offense, with mm-hmm. Braden Smith and Quentin, although he had a down season, you know, and until they, you know, trade him, Nyheim Hines, Jonathan Taylor, mm-hmm. Pittman. But free agent-wise, they haven't. I wonder how much they'll be, how active they can be in free agency this year, and there need to be some. And I think they'll have the money to do that because they're going to save like $17 million when they get rid of Matt Ryan. But defensively, they just need, again, they need a pass rusher. They do. And I think that if they can get him, they need another receiver. They need, boy, a top-end guy.
Is it an if at this point? To me, that is paramount outside of whoever the quarterback is inside the top four.
Yes.
There is no if anymore. The time has passed.
Well, and then, too, keep in mind that this going into this offseason, this is when you normally extend your running back and your wide receiver. You know, they're going into their third year, and that's normally when you extend them. You know, what's your grunt level on extending Jonathan Taylor, who's an elite running back? So I think they do that. How much are you willing to pay Michael Pittman?
Yeah.
You know, the going rate for a receiver now starts at $20 million.
How do you forecast that transpiring?
I think they get Taylor done, and I don't know that they get Pittman done. I don't mean this as a disrespect to Pittman. I think that the way this offense was, he had to be one of the most frustrated players on the team.
Agreed.
They turned him into like 9.3 a reception.
Chap, I'll ask you, what do you think of the secondary? When you look at the secondary and understanding, sometimes you need some playmakers, especially at the safety position. How do you feel about that area going forward?
Well, yeah, because you're going to lose Faison's a free agent at
Correct.
Corner. McLeod's a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got young players there, but boy, you need, and Gilmore will be back, which this bad season overshadowed how well he played this year.
He was
really
awesome.
Good. He was really good. But they need playmakers. Blackman, you want to see him continue to get better. I like what they've got, but they just don't have enough. And this league is all about playmaking. And getting Leonard back next year, if he can come back and be somewhere where, you know, close to what he was, this defense did not turn the ball over much. You know, take the ball away, which made it really tough. and then when the offense can't do much, it really wore down the defense. So I'm with you, Marlon. They need playmakers back there. Safety, another corner. You can never have too many corners the way teams throw the ball. So that's going to be a major focus again in the offseason.
And then when you look at you mentioned Shaq being out, but then in his absence, you have Bobby that steps up, and you have Zaire, and they both play phenomenal, right? You know, what do you think about those two individuals? I think they're both entering.
Bobby Okereke is free agent. EJ Speed as well. Zaire on a very team-friendly contract.
They just re-signed Zaire this past season.
Yeah.
I would assume you need to either re-sign one or the other, Okereke or EJ, and I would assume
EJ.
EJ is going to be more affordable. So, but I thought Okereke played great this year. I really do. And they've been really good at finding linebackers, drafting linebackers. You know, remember Anthony Walker had a great mm-hmm. career here.
Yep.
So, but yeah, it's one thing that, you know, that's been a really strong area. Well, don't let it dip. And you would hope that, you know, by April, what kind of shape Shaq's in. I would like to know by April that he's making
Surely.
Really, really good progress, and he's really doing the things he should do, or that he's not.
What if he's not? What do you think?
Well, if he's not, then you need to focus on bringing in a starting linebacker. And we talked to Shaq yesterday, and he sounded positive. He said, "Now I'm getting that feeling back that I didn't have after the first surgery." So, but until you see a guy play and practice, and practice this day, the next day, to where, hey, I feel pretty good, and I'm getting my feeling back. I've got my feeling back, and by August I'll be ready to play. I know I will. Not that I hope I will. So again, you've got so many issues you need to address. The last thing you want to do is add to it by Shaq being iffy again. That just complicates everything.
And fellas, with all due respect, I feel like we are spending a little too much time on the defensive side of the ball. We would all agree through 8 weeks, through 10 weeks, this defense was ready and capable of winning a postseason game.
Yep.
You have the worst offense in Indianapolis with no plan, with no head coach, with a murky young quarterback situation, and a potential Hail Mary coming in the veteran quarterback market to be a stopgap so that young quarterback isn't ruined 3 months into his NFL season. Chap, I want to conclude this conversation with this. Ballard was serious when he said, look, I've fired myself 50 times this season. I sat in agony in the press box. The number one answer Colts fans want today is, why has Jim Irsay decided to move forward with Chris Ballard? If you can give your perspective on that to close this conversation.
Because he trusts him. He does. I mean, that's all I can tell you is he trusts him. He's trusted him from the time he hired him. He believes in him. And if there was even the remote percentage that he didn't trust him, he would have gotten rid of him. They got rid of Frank.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy really liked Frank, trusted Frank, and still holds him close as a friend. But the only thing I can tell you is the owner trusts the GM. Again, we were talking in the press room. This is a case of the owner saying, I trust you to fix what you broke. That's a leap. That's a big leap to take. But all I can say is he trusts him, and we'll know, if not this year, we'll know in 2 years whether that trust was founded, well-founded.
Colts Nation, when the Dean speaks, you listen. Mike Chappell, thank you for hopping on the Fan 107.5, the Mower Shop and Fishers. Chap, we will certainly be in touch here as this head coaching search officially starts in Indianapolis. Thank you very much.
Stay in touch, guys. See you, Marlon.
See you, Chap.
Well, people aren't going to want to hear that, Marlon, but it is the truth.